This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
All right, everybody ready?
Yes.
Show of hands real quick. How many of you actually have seen this movie? Okay, oh, awesome.
Oh, all right. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we're really sorry. And just a note, this is one of my favorite things we do, period. Mm-hmm. I love this show. It doesn't diminish any other show, I promise. It's just special, and I'm stoked to do this for you today, so let's get cranking.
You said you love TMS.
Lies.
Wow, look at those guys.
Lies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said the three letters.
Brian Ebbett, please, no pandering.
But I just said TMS.
I mean, a year, Ebbett, a year it took to get this.
It's impressive.
All right,
but I'm talking about Shaft.
Here we go. I'm going to begin it like we always begin it. I may even count it down, because Randy and I, sometimes it doesn't always make it on the air, but he and I have a tradition here. Mm-hmm. So you're going to hear it, all right?
Yeah, you are.
So here we go. This is Film Sack, episode 121, and it begins in three.
Yes.
Two. One.
Oh.
Are you ready to deal now, proud warrior? This is Film Sack.
Yeah!
Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 121 for June 23rd, Nerdtacular Edition. Welcome, everybody. We are thrilled to be here to bring you one more Film Sack, and then that's the Latin. I'm just kidding. We waited till today to announce the end of this fine show. My name is Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight, Brian, careful, that time key is an 80s Casio keyboard. Casio, sure.
Right.
Dunaway.
Evil Lynn, bring forth the best of our warriors. All right, we got a guy named Blade with an eye patch, so he basically has no death perception and carries around sharp objects. Not a good idea. Would someone please make sure insurance policy is up to date? And also, can we get someone from maintenance to take a look at the railing around that huge reactor pit? I just know someone is going to be messing around over there and fall to death, screaming and flailing as they go down. You know what, Evil Lynn? I don't even want to meet the rest of our best. It's too depressing. I think I will retire to my parade float and have another facial. Which I need badly.
Don't do drugs, right?
Don't do drugs.
Also with us, Randy, you stole my bucket of chicken, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Aloha, Brian. Aloha, Scott. Mm. Aloha, Brian. Right.
Scott, Randy.
Aloha, Nerdtacular. This week on Film Sack, we mine the very depths of film entertainment, and we mine deep. We reach bedrock, we break through that, we fall into a cavern that goes way, way, way down, splash into a gigantic underground lake, get pulled to the bottom of that, then sucked into a vortex the likes of which can only exist on top of a small singularity that must be the true center of the Earth, Courtney Cox.
Right.
Well done.
Love it.
Well done. And finally, bringing up the rear. Brian, they teleported half my car, Ebbett.
So, Man-at-Arms likes guns and meat and has a sweet mustache. I think that makes him the Ron Swanson of Eternia.
Yeah. Well
and
done.
And He-Man would obviously be the Leslie Knope.
Yeah, very nice. Clearly. It's Masters of the Universe, everyone. Not He-Man and the Masters
He-Man.
Of the Universe, which I think is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just say this now? Hardly any He-Man in this movie.
Yeah. Very little
He-Man. Or a very little He-Man.
Yeah.
Isn't that the point?
Right, yeah.
Apparently not.
Well, in the cartoon, all right, so let's back up for a second. The cartoon, as you are all familiar, is a fantastic piece of intellectual entertainment, first of all. But basically, like, not unlike Transformers and a few other examples, was a product or a method of encouraging kids to beg their parents for toys. Some would argue that that's not the case, that it's really genuinely good stuff for its era, but I think it was probably mostly marketing material. So to then take that flimsy, you know, premise and say, call Dolph Lundgren, I've got an idea. Let's make a terrible, terrible movie. And this is really bad, you guys. This is a bad, bad film. Any opening thoughts on Masters of the Universe? Like it, hate it?
My first thoughts immediately was they made the sorceress so ugly. I remember the cartoon. She was a hottie in the cartoon, and that disturbed me immediately. And
well, she starts out hot, and then she just
really
gets,
I don't know.
Doesn't she get hotter?
The crystal headgear, nothing. It wasn't working for me.
One thing we shouldn't forget, like I do on the show sometimes, and I physically have him, flesh and blood, sitting right over here. Scott Fletcher is going to explain what this movie's all about. Take it away, Scott Fletcher.
Masters of the Universe is a 1987 science fiction fantasy film based on the toy line by the same name. The movie stars Dolph Lundgren as He-Man and Frank Langella as Skeletor. Other actors include John Cypher as Man-at-Arms, Chelsea Field as Teela, Billy Barty as Gwildor, and Courtney Cox as Courtney Cox.
Fantastic as always. A little bit of trivia for you. After the credits, Skeletor's head pops up from the lake and says, I'll be back.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It was terrible.
Which sets the stage for a sequel that was never made. However, a script for Masters of the Universe sequel was actually written, only to be rewritten and become the script for the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, Cyborg. Yeah!
Wow, that's...
Next on Film Sack, Cyborg.
The ultimate of recycling, yeah.
Yeah. Also, actress Christina Pickles, the sorceress. There's your ugly sorceress there, Brian. He said she was ugly, not me. I just want to clear that up. Plays the mother of Courtney Cox, the character Julie, on the TV show Friends. So that's a little weird.
That is odd. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Frank Langella, elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Fantastic actor, Star Trek veteran. Nixon and Frost enemy. V. Nixon. Frost Nixon, I guess it was called.
Yeah.
Fantastic actor. I never get tired of watching that guy do stuff. He, I'll say it now, was the best thing in the movie.
Oh, I disagree with that.
He chewed it up, right?
I disagree with that.
Okay, pull that mic up and tell us why.
Well, first of all, he's underneath an awful prosthesis. It's just like the makeup thing on him, it's embarrassingly bad. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to act through it. I don't think he does a very good job, especially in a film with James Tolkien, the principal from Back to the Future, Stinger from Top Gun.
Yeah, same guy in everything.
He's the same exact. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He plays the same character in every movie. He's an amazing performance by him, in my opinion. I thought Langella was awful.
For those who don't know, that guy is the guy that tells Marty McFly, where's your hall pass, right? That's the guy. He gets all up in his face.
Yeah, and tells Maverick that he's writing checks his body can't cash.
Right. Fantastic.
Not without two forms of ID.
Now, listen, though. The Frank Langella tip goes like this. He went on record. He has said this in an interview, stating that playing Skeletor was one of his favorite roles.
Mm, really?
His young son was a huge fan and was running around the house shouting, by the power of Grayskull, so he took the role. And he said he really enjoyed it. I mean, he hammed it up pretty nicely. On the flip side, Dolph Lundgren says he felt playing He-Man was the lowest point he's ever been at in his life.
Also,
what happened there?
Well, okay, so Langella has the best role in the film. He gets to play a trope bad guy who never does anything. He sits in a chair the entire movie. And in the end, you know, he has some, like, yellow lightning that does some fighting for him at the very end of the movie. But, I mean, he ultimately ends up offing himself by, like, tripping and falling into it. He's like, he can't walk. He sits in a chair the whole thing. What better role would be better? Like, what? I guess he could have tried to dominate the universe by laying down. Mm. You know? Awesome.
That's pretty dastardly stuff, too.
Well, and Randy, you glossed over. I mean, you talked about the prosthetic over his mouth. Was there really a time when makeup artists couldn't create makeup that attached to the lips and moved at the same time as what the actors...
Brian makes a point!
Yeah. Wow. That wasn't even live! Thank you. Yes. Yeah, it seems so fundamental. Just glue a little shit to the lips and, you know, and you're good to go.
I enjoyed the ham-handed approach. Dunaway, how did you feel about Langella's performance?
Well, absolutely. Skeletor's prosthetics were horrible. It reminded me somewhat of Death from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, yeah. Played by someone. Tell me who. Who plays that guy? He's awesome. Who? William Sadler.
Right.
Oh, William Sadler.
And it was very distracting up until the very end when Skeletor turned into to Super Gold Skeletor. In which case, he won me over then at that point. It was he was kind of kick-ass.
Isn't that oddly familiar to you guys? Something
he
about
was the
that.
Variant edition action figure, wasn't he?
Right.
Yeah. That was really weird. So all of you saw it. Yell if you like Skeletor's performance. All right, see?
Well, yeah, yell if you didn't. There you go. Let's put this into perspective.
I was trying to twist the numbers. All right, well, let's get into the business of actually what we saw. So I felt like the biggest problem with the movie wasn't so much a terrible script and bad acting. Those things contributed.
Okay.
I feel like the big problem was they said, hey, Superman has cool credit intros. We can do that.
Okay, we'll put those in there.
And, oh, hey, Star Wars has a lot of imagery that we can steal. Yeah. And they have
Imperial
bounty hunters.
March.
Let's just rip off that bounty hunter scene where Vader comes in and picks a bounty hunter from the five. Mm. Let's just do that again. Except they all have,
pick all five.
Yeah, except one has a giant white mullet or whatever that was. So let's talk just quickly. What is from the TV show? Well, there's He-Man. Mm-hmm. There's the Sorceress.
Skeletor.
Castle Grayskull. They're supposed to be Orko.
Right.
Instead,
he gets reworked.
Yeah, oh, he's Dorko. It's worse.
Yeah, and Billy Barty is the first name you see after the title screen.
Oh, yeah.
Which is... was his star power really on the rise back then?
He's also our first... This is our first Billy Barty film. We should note that.
Yes, until we see Willow. Oh, I can't wait.
Soon. When are we doing that?
Eventually, we
Soon.
Have to.
Uh-oh. This is the sign of a bad movie when we start talking about other movies we're going to see.
Oh, but seriously.
We're doing it already. What else? I know what I was going to say. So, like, all of that stuff, and then also there seemed to be more guns in the film than
amazing.
I ever remember in the TV show.
Right. Swords and lasers in this.
Yeah.
Right.
Lot.
And
a lot of both.
Trying to control both at the same time, like wielding a sword while you're... shooting again.
And I was strangely confused, and I was excited at one point, and then I was like, yeah, that's ridiculous. He's supposed to be using a sword, but then I'm like, oh, but lasers.
Yeah, and it was weird. How do you feel about I felt like there was a Howard the Duck vibe throughout.
Oh, yeah.
I felt a Flash Gordon vibe.
Yeah, Flash Gordon too. All
right. Especially Gold Skeletor.
Yeah. Now, Gold Skeletor doesn't exist in the cartoon, and neither did the mullet creature, and they turned Lizard Man into more of a, I don't know what that was.
Was he like a leftover from V?
From
the V series? I mean, was that prosthetic used from that, and they just put like a helmet on
I wouldn't be surprised. The good V?
Yeah, the good V.
Where the lady eats a gopher?
Right.
Yeah. That's good stuff right there. But no Orko, so instead they make a small gnome dude who's worse.
Yeah.
He's at least on par.
Special effects limits?
If you could make Orko worse.
Right. Okay.
I kind of liked him.
You like Gwildor?
Yeah. Do you have trope alert ready?
Oh, hold on.
We got a trope already?
Well, yeah. Gwildor is a trope. He is Snarf. He is Jar Jar Binks. He is that thing that's tacked on that you're supposed to go buy an action figure of and do the funny voice of. And it's. I think it's brilliant. I really, like...
You thought he was all right. I like Billy Barty. It's not. He's not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's the reason everything has gone wrong. So you don't understand why they don't just kill him at the beginning. They don't have such a problem.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. They could have said good journey and off the little turd.
Right, and then...
Yeah. We'll get to good journey later in the clips. Oh, by the way, live studio audience, we're going to show clips today. Show them.
Yeah.
Show them.
What about some clips?
You know, while you've got that trope alert queued up...
Yeah, it's right here, in fact. There you go, sir.
All right, so you've got the opening scene with Skeletor walking down the rows of his soldiers, his minions. Shouldn't they be outside defending stuff? I mean, they're really only good if somebody makes it into the Castle Grayskull and then has to go through this gauntlet.
You mean
of
the Star
soldiers.
Wars
stormtroopers? Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's part of the larger story of the film is that Evil Lyn has moved in.
and she wants this place to herself. She the whole film, all she wants is for Skeletor to just hurry up and fall in that pit over there.
Right.
So she can just take on the, you know, the Castle Grayskull management that she really wants to do. And so when he comes in, she doesn't really... He caught her doing some interior decorating. All those people were inside, busy arranging statues and stuff.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, all right. Could really do something with those drapes over there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Do you feel like Evil Lynn might have been just a little bit typecast because of her name?
Evil Lynn?
Evil Lynn.
Yeah. They're all like that. Beast Man.
Beast Man.
Man at Arms.
Man at Arms. Right. Well, who's the guy with all the guns? So that's Man at Arms.
By the way, I played with the Man at Arms toys, and this Man at Arms was very disappointing.
So we have other, we have Scandinavians here. Hands raised. Okay. Do y'all hate Dolph Lundgren?
No.
No. National treasure.
Okay. Is he a national treasure?
Yes.
I love him. I think he's great. And I think he's... I really liked his turn in the first... what did we see?
Expendables? Oh, Retrograde.
No.
Renegade? Renegade.
The Expendables. Thank you. Oh, I thought he was great. He's the only thing I liked in it. I didn't like The Expendables much. I really liked him in it.
Well,
and
yeah,
so
absolutely.
I feel like he's better now. Like, you know, get him all old and weird looking, and now he's great. But go back to 1987.
That's
not so good. And they also, oh, this is the other thing. Did I already mention this? He's hardly in it.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be what their point was, to say, let's only give him, I mean, Man of Arms, I think, or Man at Arms.
Man with arms. Man arms, yeah.
Man... plus arms. He had more lines. He had more screen time, I think, than He-Man. Courtney Cox, I think, had more screen time than He-Man.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, she did. She
because
was
okay with. Because, I was okay
yeah,
with.
Because she can properly enunciate English.
Mm. Yes.
Oh, and Star Wars or Star Trek Connection earlier here. We'll talk about it. It also featured what's his name, Tom Paris from Voyager.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, Robert. What? Duncan. Three names.
Robert Duncan McNeil.
Fantastic. I like him.
Yeah.
Commander, do your voice.
Commander Paris.
Yeah, Commander Paris. We still haven't found our way home, Commander Paris.
I will be in the back room.
So, Ibbet, there was a surprise in there for you. I didn't cap it, but at some point, that song that I used to love in the 80s because it's so bad, that Living in a Cardboard Box. That
Do you know
on.
So the name of the song? Living in a Box. Do you know the name of the band?
What?
Living in a Box.
Shut up.
Do you know the name of the album it came from?
What?
Living in a Box.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's
they set fantastic. Themselves up for no second single.
We learned that Eternia is full of vegetarians.
Right, that was weird.
Yeah.
No meat for those fine folks.
No, eat it off the bone.
Why was there bleach at the prom? Can I ask you that? Remember that? She's like, if I throw bleach on Beastman's face.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was a prom... Decoration.
Well, why did the ambulance people, the EMTs, clear out all the musical instruments before they started bringing the bodies out? Did you? Like, all the musical instruments, all nicely arranged on the side.
Yeah.
Then they start the stretchers coming out with the people on them.
It's a matter of priorities, Brian.
Living in a box.
It's a matter of values. I got a trope. I'm going to give it to you right here. The scene where the dude acts like someone else is on the phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yes. They'll say, Bill, is that you? Yes, I am there now. And fake like they're not talking to somebody.
Right.
Love that one. Shows up all the time. That was Tom Paris having a fake call with Courtney Cox.
While the principal from Back to the Future gives him the cold stare.
Yes. Mm. That guy's the same guy and everything. How about this one? Dead parents as coming back again to fool you into thinking...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that was
my parents have died. Yeah. This is the whole thing through the movie, how terrible it is that they died. And now suddenly in an alley, mom shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems just normal. Like, oh.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I saw the body. We buried people.
It's somehow portrayed so stupidly. They're in the middle of a huge battle. And people are fighting and everything. And she just goes gliding right out past everybody to see her mother. Instead of screaming at the top of her lungs. Like, would terrify you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is now a good time, hon? Your father and I have been hiding out. Sorry. Is now good? Can we catch up?
So is this our fourth Lundgren movie?
Yeah,
we got Retrograde, this, and Universal Soldier. We do that one?
We did Universal Soldier.
Ooh, they're starting to blur together, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe five. Because where's the one where he says one? Johnny Mnemonic, right?
Oh, halt, sinners!
Yeah, halt, sinners, that guy. Well, good. Then now he now joins the pantheon currently held by...
the Five Timers Club.
Yeah, the Five Timers Club. all right. What else? You guys got anything else before I play clips? There's a bunch of them.
Well, hello, everybody. Let me bust in here real quick and talk to you during this fantastic live episode of Film Sack in front of such an awesome audience. Awesomeness. Can't even talk. Hey, it's the day after. What are you going to do? Nerdtacular was fantastic and spectacular, and as always, the Film Sack fans showed up in droves. We had a really good time, and you're about to hear the best part of the show. These clips were fantastic. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I do want to thank our friends and sponsors of this episode, Audible.com. You know, I do want to see the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. I do want to see it. But first, I may read the book by Seth Graham Smith, narrated by Scott Hoist. Sounds a bit like this.
I saw the author's penmanship evolve from the overcautious script of a child to the tightly packed scribbling of a young man.
A young man. There's more like that to be heard in that unabridged edition of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and you can check that out or any other audiobook among thousands, hundreds of thousands of possible choices at audible.com. Everything you might need and want in every kind of genre. And you can get one of those free if you haven't signed up before. It's real easy. You go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get that or any free audiobook today. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. Do it today.
Oh, let's hit the clips.
Let's do the clips.
Do you want to go to clips?
It's a good movie to do this.
Stay tuned for clips, everyone. Hold on. Oh. I thought this was ready. Technical issues. Hold on.
I will say this, that Dolph Lundgren is kind of scary when he smiles.
Yeah.
Anytime he smiled in this movie, it was...
He's a frightening man.
It is.
Uh-huh. All right, I give you clip number one. Perhaps. Oh, this is, by the way, watch Skeletor exercise his power. Here you go.
You've not won yet, Skeletor. He-Man is still alive. I can feel it.
Really? How sensitive you are. Can you feel this?
Going on there?
Did he actually leave his chair to do that?
Yeah, he got up.
Right.
You forgot about that time when he left his chair.
Yeah, that's amazing.
There's a proximity. Yeah. Hold on.
Come a little closer to my chair.
Finally, get up.
So about 15 minutes in, I might be exaggerating, we finally get to meet He-Man, and he is introduced thusly.
The new age begins. Woo!
I've been looking for you.
Why didn't you come help me?
Right?
I'm about to die over here. And you're not... Well, we think you got it.
No. He's got this.
I have that scene written down here for the visually impaired as sparks, pecs, laser, ladder, Star Wars.
All right, that was awesome.
Is there ever a film where someone dressed up as a Star Wars-esque stormtrooper or Darth Vader ever succeeds?
No. It's a sure sign that trouble is afoot, Randy. Yeah.
Did anyone else watching this notice the guy, one of the stormtroopers, in an early scene? So they're like showing the surface of Eternia and all this stuff going on. And one of the guys in the foreground trips. Anyone else catch that? Yeah. Does he? Same guy?
Same guy.
Stupid suit.
This armor is rough.
Well, maybe he's role playing Skeletor.
Right. Like it's just clumsy.
He loves Skeletor so much, and he's just really like, hey, he's my hero.
Look at me, I'm Skeletor, bro.
How about this one? Gwildor is introduced. Thank goodness this finally happened.
Who are you?
I am Gwildor of Thenor. Locksmith and inventor.
Okay, now, his mouth barely moved, and barely. I found that troubling. Here's Skeletor again pontificating about who he is.
Her powers increase my own, and when the moon reaches its zenith, the great eye will open, and all the powers of Grayskull will be bestowed upon me. Your wondrous sorceress will die. You dare threaten her life? I dare anything! I am Skeletor!
Nice. I'd kind of forgotten I did that. To put that in there.
Well, there's one celebrity who's never going to come to Nurtacular.
No, right. I love Gates McFadden.
Anyone else get like a Jack Palance kind of vibe from some of his acting?
You know what? You could have told me that was him in the makeup, and I would have believed it. That's the kind of acting it was. But those guys are, you know, similar generation. Well, Jack's not anymore, right?
He's a little older.
I think he's dead now, isn't he?
He's dead now.
Oh, we're doing this again where we don't know if someone's dead. That's my favorite moment on the show. All right, the first appearance, this is my favorite thing in the movie, the first appearance of the magic grappling hook. All right.
Oh, I love that thing.
There you go. Hey. How awesome is that? It gets better, though. I'll show you another one in a minute. But first, I want everyone, when they leave Nerdtacular this year, to say this phrase to each other as they depart, all right? This is the new way to talk to each other.
Right. If we're going to split up, we'd better synchronize our personal locators. You both ready? And
if you find the key, activate the sorcery signal. Good journey.
Good journey.
Good journey.
Good journey, everybody. Good journey. And
cow.
I don't know what the cow was for. There's a cow in there.
Yeah, he left the cow in there.
So can we all do that? Good journey, right?
Good
Let's
journey.
Do that.
Good journey.
They'll keep us from passing germs around and stuff. Just barbecue grappling hook. Here you go.
Oh.
Well done.
Ugh. Holding out on us, huh?
Just in time. I was going to share. I was going to share.
Sure you were. Taylor?
That's so freaking weird. Can that is that only in Texas they do that, right? Grapple their meat, right? Okay.
They do have people in Texas with those cheeks, though.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. Their lips barely move when they talk.
No, Brian Dunaway, what do people store in those cheeks? What has he got in there?
I'm not sure. Yeah, that was pretty disgusting. Bones, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, what was up with the grappling hook?
And that's because when she ate it and then got all grossed out that it was an animal.
She did, yeah. And that's where we assume that they're vegetarians.
But they're dumb vegetarians who don't know what they're eating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except for Man-at-Arms, who just doesn't... Right. He doesn't care.
He's old school. He doesn't care.
Let's see. This is where they find the cosmic key. Oh, man. Here we go.
Look at this thing.
Whoa. That is incredible. What is it?
I don't know. It's the one that dropped it.
Dropped it? Are you kidding? Look at the size of that hole. It's like it fell out of the sky or something. No, this is one of those new Japanese synthesizers. Here, let me try it. Listen to this! Oh, this is hot. And she can
We gotta turn this into the caretaker.
Oh, no way. Come on, are you kidding? He just keep this for himself.
What the crap?
It's like an Eternian fart machine.
It just works, right?
Yeah. That's just.
So while Gwildor is tickling the thing all day and can't get it to work, Paris can make music?
Yeah. But music that doesn't take you to another planet.
All right. It takes me back to the 80s is where it takes me. Let's see. Oh, the bounty hunter scene. All right. We've all seen Empire Strikes Back. It's the best Star Wars movie ever made.
Right.
I love that. Got a cheer. That's awesome. Here is that scene, basically shot for shot, in Masters of the Universe.
Here and awaiting your command, I have selected your finest warriors. Blade. Zarad. The Beast Man. And Karg.
A curious quartet.
He was trying to hide his disappointment.
Yeah.
So we're meant to believe that Evil Lyn beforehand said, okay, I'm going to have you guys hang out right here. Yeah. When I call your name, step forward into the light and kind of, you know, grimace or growl or something. But not until I call your name. You just hold off there.
Yeah, and you can't take that white-haired thing seriously.
No.
It's not scary.
It's totally Star Trek looking. It looks something straight
it looks
out
like,
of Star Trek.
Oh, I almost mentioned a name that I'm glad I didn't mention.
But think about that. Like, Skeletor was in the bathroom, and she's getting them all arranged to step forward and present themselves.
Right.
He's an old guy. He takes forever, and they're standing up there just waiting and waiting and waiting. And somehow he doesn't notice them as he comes out? How is that possible?
It's not. It's a terrible film. That's why. Dude from Back to the Future. So I got the principal. Check him out.
Careful. Wanna know something, kid? I don't think this is any synthesizer.
Brilliant. Ba-ba-bum. Took him a moment of joy and then introspection to tell.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a synthesizer. All right. Sweet air scooters.
Yes, finally.
Oh, man, these are... What?
Scooters.
Oh, we got scooters. Hold on. I'll do you one better. Hold on.
You said the magic words.
This might ruin us. Hold on a second. Let's see if this ruins everything. Here we go. Nope, that's not it.
We got scooters.
We got scooters.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Here's the scooters. They're not ergonomic at all.
No, not practical. It's like the segways.
I hate this job, yeah. All right, one more grappling hook, because that happened again. Here you go. That's the best thing in the movie.
Yeah, it is.
I loved it.
Isn't it? I'm not just saying that. That is the best thing.
Yeah.
And the director's sitting around going, you know, we could do one more.
We could do it one more time.
That was the director's plan. It's like, all right, so I think I've got an idea for the story. It's going to be they get the key, then they get the key, then they get the key, then they get the key. Perfect. Movie done.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like a weird game of rugby. Let's try the magic whip. This thing was pretty awesome. I think Blade was using it. You know, Blade, because he's got blades all over him. All
right,
here you go.
The one eye. Even Skeletor couldn't watch.
Yeah.
He's like...
Skeletor was getting aroused.
I don't know. He was looking away, or he was slouching down his chair.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's pretty epic. And that's not us messing with editing. That's how they cut that show, that movie. All right, finally, I have the power. Big moment in every He-Man story, right?
Right.
I have the power.
No longer stand between me and my destiny!
But I will. I told you it was always between us.
Oh, I ache to smash you out of existence. To drive your cursed face from my memory forever! Yes! Let this be our final battle!
Can we,
pretty
can
epic.
We, can we please call that ham-to-ham
sure.
combat?
Ham to ham, yeah.
Good one, Randy.
Well done.
It's
well
the
done.
Best. So beautiful.
Yeah, so that's your clips. I mean, that's your lightsaber battle at the end. I mean, what a freaking rip-off of Star Wars, and not a good one.
I mean, right down to you can't have your good guy just... slit up the bad guy. The bad guy has to kind of off himself. But
Yep. I wish I'd have capped that, Natty. You mentioned it again, where he falls down the pit.
Oh,
he falls, the Emperor, by the
just,
way.
Yeah, the Emperor. He does the exact same thing. There, you know, there's a bunch of pillows waiting at the bottom for him or something.
I do like costumes where it's completely and totally impractical to wear that. That head thing. You just give up. You wouldn't do it. All right. You know what that means, don't you? That means it's time for me to alt-tab and bring up another thing. It's time for awards. All right, it's time for your Film Sack Awards, everybody. These are the awards we have levied in the general direction of this terrible film. The dumbest place to have an epic fight is a music store award. The saddest use of Frank Langella in a movie ever. The least amount of He-Man in a He-Man movie award.
Yep.
The most impressive grappling hook of all time award. And finally, the most disgusting thing that ever happened to Courtney Cox's leg award. Do you remember that?
Yeah. And that includes Cougar Town. That's amazing.
No, wasn't there that episode where Matthew Perry had to pee on her leg in Friends because she stepped on a sea urchin?
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Star Trek connections provided to us by, sadly, not here, the Trek nerd Daryl Skeels. Daryl, if you're watching, hello.
Yes.
We love Daryl. A few of them, not just Tom Paris here. We've got Robert Towers played Karg, so the stupid hair thing guy. In season one of TNG, he played a Ferengi, Rata, in the battle episode. That'd be a good Ferengi. Robert Duncan McNeil, we talked about that. He was Tom Paris. Meg Foster, who played Eva Lynn, was on TNG season 4, played Anya in The Muse. And Frank Langella, who played Skeletor, clearly. Deep Space Nine season 2, played Jaro Essa, am I saying that right? Probably. In The Homecoming, The Circle, and The Siege. He was a Bajoran, so he had like a rib for her pleasure nose. Remember that?
Yeah.
And finally, Blade was in Voyager as well, played somebody named Kulla, and he does a lot of sword work. That guy's actually really respected, I found out after reading about all this. Soundtrack grade D for decent for what it was. It was okay.
It was just another element of ripoff.
Yeah, there was nothing about it that was like, hey, this is unique and interesting to this film. Mm-hmm. It was more like, hey, Star Crash did something similar to this.
Right.
Well, you guys, Star Crash. Let's watch that again. Sorry, go ahead.
No, let's not watch Star Crash again. When the music that comes out of the key synthesizer, Japanese synthesizer, stops, and then the music cues up, and it's exactly the same, that's kind of a sign of a you know, not very imaginative musical score.
Kind of unremarkable. Twitter post time. This is where, in 140 characters or less, you three sum up this film. Let's start with Randy.
Masters of the Universe. Bedazzled Skeletor. Capes, 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 capes. Gwildor, by the power of Grayskull, this sucks.
Well said, sir. Well said. Mr. Dunaway.
Hey, Masters of the Universe. The 80s just puked on your movie. Superman scroll intro, roll into some Imperial March. The Beastman appears, a magical musical Casio instrument is involved. Trolls and Courtney Cox. Round out your 80s.
I She was kind of cute. She wasn't all that bad. Then finally, Mr. Ibbett.
So I never had any Masters of the Universe figures as a child. But I'm totally familiar with the toy line. But I don't remember a white-haired bounty hunter toy that looked like a Pomeranian.
Nice.
Well done, sir. Well, here's what I learned while you grew your sweet man-at-arms mustache. They totally had Skeletor on a float.
They
see
do.
That?
Yeah.
Right in this town. Yes. That was awesome. The Eternia, let's see. If Eternia needs one thing, it's more of a sensible cosmic key button configuration. And then finally, I never want to hear Tom Paris sing again. Mm. And that's what I learned. We're not leaving without Scott Fletcher doing some quotes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. All right, all right. All right, all right.
Well, what do you know? The mountain comes to Muhammad.
What do you know?
That's a weird thing in there.
How are yours? Are yours any better?
I don't know. Are these different? Here, read them all, man.
Okay. I had the power!
Very well done.
The Alpha and the Omega, death and rebirth and die, oh, Jesus Christ.
So bad.
And lastly, they're terrible. I wonder why they put the meat on these little white sticks.
Yes. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a show. We do not know what we're watching next week. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what we're watching?
I'll look it up. You keep talking.
Let's look it up.
So did they say why they put the meat? If they knew it was meat, why were they eating it?
Why the who the what? What?
Why did they put the meat on these little white sticks? They knew at that point they were eating meat. Right. It wasn't until the white sticks turned out
no,
to be bones.
No, they're the dumbest vegetarians ever.
Oh. Oh, that kind of meat. Oh,
dear Lord.
The ones on bones. Fantastic.
Meat sticks are fine.
Well, Randy looks that up. Do you have internet?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, this won't take too long then.
Yeah. This
will...
Oh, man.
All right.
Don't make the movie better.
Now, while he looks that up, Dolph Lundgren said in a recent interview he would be happy to do a sequel.
I'm sure he would.
Dude.
That's true.
He would be happy to do anything.
He says it's the worst experience of his life, but he wants to do it again.
Get it right.
Yeah. Well, this or Star Crash? Oh, you guys. Star Crash has a charm, though. There's something special going on in that movie. This is Howard the Duck bad. It's a different kind of bad. Where they kind of have they have good they have a they want to do well, they want to like make a movie, and they have a budget, and they just freaking blow
yeah,
it.
Yeah, between the two, I would rather watch Star Crash again.
Really?
Would you? Yeah, I would too. Yeah,
really?
And I want to watch it on a couch with you guys.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Sit down with Skeletor.
Yeah. Why not? So what do we got? What's
right,
up
so
next?
Coming up on FilmSack, we have Barbed Wire.
Barbed Wire.
Ooh. We're gonna see Barbed Wire. We're gonna watch Night of the Comet. Mm. We're gonna watch the. Michael Douglas film, The Game, with Sean Penn.
A good
movie. And we're promising in the next month, we're going to all sit down together and watch Con Air.
Con Air, ladies and gentlemen.
Love Con Air. Con Air.
Yeah. We are not going to be able to leave the bunny in the
box. Yeah, it's
going
to be rough. Well, I have this much to say. It is our pleasure to sit before you today and do an episode of one of our favorite shows to do on this network or any other. I want to thank you guys for being here. If you'd like to know more about FilmSack, FilmSack.com is the place to go. Email us, FilmSack@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @FilmSack. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy!
Yes!
We'll see you next time.
All right.
Is that a Skeletor back there?
Yes, I see Skeletor.
That's Skeletor. Put your hands up.
It's a better Skeletor than Frank Langella.
Where's that Peter Criss?
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I have the power!